Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Van Halen coming back there for you. A little jump. One of my favorite songs. That's what we got to do is in Small Business. When we get up in the morning, we got to jump. We got to put our track shoes on. Do a little stretching, a little exercise to get the blood going. And then we got to move, right? We got to move fast. Got to move fast. We got to move quick. We got to move effectively. And the way you do that, the way you move fast, quick, and effectively, is you got to be a better leader. And by the way, welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame, a Small Business Advocate. But you knew that, didn't you? And anyway, back to leadership. You got to be a leader. And not only be a leader, you got to remember that you're never going to be a perfect leader. So don't seek perfection, as you've heard me say many times before. Don't seek perfection. Seek excellence, because you can be an excellent leader. You can't be a perfect leader. Excellence means, by definition, that it can be a little better tomorrow than it was today. Somebody who knows all about that, who's going to help us with that, is Robert Thomas. Bob is the author of a co-author of Geeks and Geezers. He's also the author of the new book, Crucibles of Leadership. And he's a well-known management expert, leadership expert. He's executive director of Accenture Institute for High Performance Business, which is based in Boston, Massachusetts. However, today he's in London, and we're talking to him all the way over in London, England. Bob Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim.
It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks. Sorry, I was so hard to find.
No, it's okay. We don't lose people. We know how to run you down. Bob, one of the things that you talk about in your book that I think is interesting. Well, in your book you talk a lot about experience. How important, in fact, the subtitle is how to learn from experience to become a great leader. Now, many of us have heard the term, and some believe that there's such a thing as a natural born leader. So if there does being a natural, if experience is such a big deal, can there actually be natural born leaders?
Oh, I think there can be. But the fact is that I don't care how natural born your skills or your charisma or your competencies are, you're not going to be prepared for every kind of situation that you're going to face, so you still need to be able to learn. And that, to me, was the reason why I began in doing interviews with a host of accomplished leaders, some of whom have been talked about as natural born talent, and asked the question, so how did you go about learning to do what you do?
Mm-hmm. What did they say?
Well,
what was the main thing that you got from them?
Well, the main thing I got from them is that they practice like crazy. You know, you said at the outset, you're never going to be perfect, and I think you're absolutely right. But the only way you're going to improve is by practicing. And what's interesting is I learned from the leaders I interviewed is that many of them are really quite explicit about what they practice. You know, there's some folks who are unconsciously competent. They can't tell you how they do it. They just do it, and they're extraordinary. There's others, by contrast,
those are kind of the natural-born leaders.
Exactly. And then there are others who, by contrast, are very practiced. You know, in a sense, in the book, I go into detail about comparing performing artists and leaders, you know, great musicians, great dancers, great athletes. And the fact is that while we as observers may not notice them practicing, for the most part, they are practicing a lot. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is they are paying attention to some of the very basic things that leaders have to do, but not in a indirect way, in a very direct way. Communicating.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Communicating, decision-making, thinking through what the impact they have on people, using their experience to the fullest.
You know, there are people who do things and there are people who talk about doing things. And leaders, I think, do things. And you said two things just now that I want to come back to. One of my mentors once said to me, make lots of decisions. Because if you know what you're doing, you'll make most of them right. And what he was talking about was, and I think that's how, that's one of the ways that I practice being a leader, whether I'm any good at it or not, is I make lots of decisions. When I was flying, when I was learning how to fly on instruments, my instructor said, make little bitty corrections when you're flying on instruments. Don't make big corrections, because big corrections make big swings back and forth, and before you know, you're out of control. Make little bitty corrections, lots of little bitty corrections, and that way you'll stay on course a lot more. So I think this, making lots of decisions, not being afraid to make a decision, is a big deal in leadership. And, of course, you got to have you, as you're doing that, you're gaining experience. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, when you look at people who are excellent performers in any field, including leaders, one of the things you come to discover is that they're practicing all the time. Like you were talking about, making small decisions, making small adjustments, they're practicing in front of people in real time. Interesting, I took the time to talk to some people who are coaches and teachers of musicians, and one of the things that they say is that from their perspective, technical practice, you know, playing chords and the scales over and over again will only make you so good. You've got to be able to practice in real time, in front of friends, on a street corner, in a subway, wherever you can get feedback on your performance.
Take it to the marketplace.
Exactly, and that's where you get to learn the most practice.
Yeah. When I was, again, forgive me for using another aviation example, but I remember, folks, when I was learning to fly, start with, before I got my instrument rating, Bob, I learned that when I got a weather briefing, the best way to understand what that weather briefing meant was to go fly that briefing. Go up into the sky and see what they just told me looked like up in the air. Mm-hmm. And so you got all these people reading all these books, like, you know, all these wonderful books like you've written. And, you know, I'm going to propose, Bob, as wonderful as your books are, they're not worth a nickel if somebody doesn't take that information and take it to the marketplace. Go fly that briefing. What do you think?
Oh, I quite agree. But, you know, to be honest with you, there's two sides of learning. One, there's the things that you can learn technically through a textbook, in a class, from a reading. Then, as you pointed out, you got to put it into practice right away. You got to be able to make sure that you understand what the concept means. And I think that when I talk about learning from experience in the book, one of the points I'm trying to make there is that people need to practice whatever it is that they're learning until they feel like they've mastered it. Not to give up too soon, but to have the diligence, to have the motivation to really practice. And what I found, unfortunately, when I talk to senior leaders in all kinds of businesses, large and small, one of the things they fail to do is practice.
Hold on to that thought, Bob. Robert Thomas is our guest, folks. He's the author of Crucibles of Leadership, brand new book. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bob about what I think is the most important characteristic of all really good, effective leaders. And we'll see what he thinks about that. I know he knows about it. I know he writes about it. He's an expert in this area. But it's one word, and I'll tell you about that after these messages. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. The Little Drifter's bringing us back, drifting us back to the show. It's good to have you here, folks. Thanks for joining me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. You know about those. Go check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. I want to get back to Bob Thomas. I don't want to miss any moments that we can, that we don't have to with him, because he is one of the smart guys when it comes to management and leadership on planet Earth. His new book is called Crucibles of Leadership, Robert J. Thomas. And, of course, you know him as the co-author of Geeks and Geezers, along with Bennis. Remind me what Bennis's first name.
Warren Bennis.
Warren Bennis, there you go. Yeah, I don't know how I could forget that. Bob, one of the things you talk about experience being so important, and I want you to drill it down on that in a minute. But that's not to me. I know that's a huge part of your book, but to me, and I know you write about this too, Bob, and I know you know about this very well. To me, all the things we were talking about a minute ago, all the, you know, making the decisions, making, you know, taking it out into the marketplace, taking your leadership into the marketplace, and practicing, as you said. In order to do all those things, you got to have one thing. You got to have courage, and you got to have the courage to be prepared to fail. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, when we ask people about the times in which they learned the most important things about being a leader, almost invariably they talked about some time of failure or reversal or loss. You know, it wasn't a classroom, it wasn't an MBA program, it wasn't a book they read. It was something that life tossed at them that they weren't ready to catch, and they dropped it. And I think the real issue there is the courage and the resilience to be able to respond to failure is what truly distinguishes a leader from everybody else. I mean, if you don't venture, you're never gonna win. And when you venture, you're sometimes gonna fail. And if you fail, you can recover. You're gonna be a winner in life and improve as a leader. Because in fact, it's the ability to be able to fail and learn that turns out to be a huge distinction.
Someone once said, "I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, someone once said that you got to be willing to risk what you know for what you might learn.
Mm-hmm. But you think about that. I mean, we all talk about learning as being an important thing. We encourage our kids to do it. We talk about that being a cornerstone of a truly competitive society. And yet, when you ask people about times in which they've learned really important things, more often than not, what they'll tell you includes an awful lot of very strong feelings. I mean, mm-hmm. to be reversed, to lose, to right. fail involves a lot of courage, ability to be able to overcome something that hurts really bad.
Talk to us about crucible experiences. You talk about that in your book.
Well, we call the kinds of experiences that people talk about as being the times in which they learned important things about being a leader as crucibles. There really are times of test, a test of will, a test of values, a test of
character.
Character, a sense of who you are. And often in the midst of them, you know, they're hard to recognize as an opportunity to learn. But in fact, the people who really make the most out of experience recognize that when they're being tested, that really is a chance to learn something important, mm-hmm. something that'll stick with you for the rest of your life.
If the longer you're a leader, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're running your own company or somebody else's, you will be introduced to opportunities like this crucible that Bob's talking about, and you'll get. And I think the more you have them, the more you'll recognize that when you're in one. Because I've gotten to the point where I can tell, okay, this is a character test for me. This is a values test for me. This is a gut check for me. I can tell when I'm in one of those now. But for a long time I couldn't.
You're absolutely right, and I think that it's the ability to be able to recognize when those events arise that actually makes you a better learner over the course of your life. Because the fact is that, as we said at the very outset, you know, some people are natural talents, but they're not going to be prepared for everything that life throws at them, so even they have to be able to learn. The better you are at learning, chances are the better you're going to be able to be at adapting this to the crazy things that life and competition can throw at you.
And when your people are watching you in those crucibles, and by the way, folks, they know what those things look like too, because they've seen leaders or themselves be in the middle of a crucible, a test of whatever is being tested. When they see you doing that, Bob, isn't that when they learn how to regard you, whether you're able to respond and to perform with trust and with honesty and with consistency? Isn't that a big deal?
Oh, it's absolutely a big deal, because anytime you're in a leadership position, you know people are watching you because they're trying to figure out whether or not you're truly following what it is you said you're going to do. Can they trust you? Can they rely on you? If they see you in the midst of a crucible experience, they're going to pay extra special attention, because out of that can come huge lessons for an organization about how do you go about sticking with the goal and the mission in periods of crisis? How do you learn even though you feel like you've been flattened by whatever you've encountered?
And those are the times when whatever you've said to them as your platitudes, whatever your leadership platitudes have been, whatever you've given them, whatever baloney you've blown on them, this is those crucibles is when they can tell whether you really meant it or not, don't they?
Absolutely. But also, I think it's important to recognize that, many of the leaders that I had a chance to talk to, people as diverse as Skye Dayton, who founded Earthlink, or Muriel Siebert, who was the first woman to own a seat on the New York Stock Exchange, or any of a number of the people I talked to, one of the things that they kept coming back to was that you're never in that crucible alone. There's always a way in which to reach out to get help from others.
There you go. And that's what smart leaders, effective leaders know. The book is called Crucibles of Leadership. Bob, give us a website and tell us where the book's available quickly, please.
Well, right now, the best place to find it is Amazon.com.
All right. Hey, Bob, will you come back another day? You got more to teach us.
I would love to. Thank you for inviting me.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks. We'll see you next time. Quick break. Right back. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassie. Bye-bye.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.